We're doing a series on the book of Acts. And what I want to do tonight is, the series is called Acts 29. And that's a particular chapter in Acts. But what I want to do tonight is focus on the beginning. In the beginning of the book of Acts, there's this very powerful experience that these believers have. So these people, understanding they've come out of these disciples. And now there's 120, according to the book of Acts, there's 120 of them now gathered. And this is post-Jesus' death and resurrection, or his death anyways. And they're really confused and not sure where things are going to go. And we see the promise come, the fulfillment of the promise that Jesus said, if I go to the Father, something better is going to happen to you. And it's called the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit comes in the book of Acts, there's this really dramatic experience that the New Testament believers have. And what I want to do tonight is I want to talk about that experience. And I want to talk about it maybe in a little different way than we normally look at it. But before we do that, I want you to start thinking about something. So I want you to listen to this.
It hit your leaf.
Tedua. Uhipak.
Es kes sirumen.
Mebifi.
Yatabe kahayu.
Ami tolake balobasi.
Volimte.
Ishamte.
Sorolan nea.
Ngo oi nea.
Titengu karo.
Volimte.
Ja, elsker dig.
I love you. Mi amas win.
Mi amas dansen.
Af kreki.
Malkita.
Mina rakas dansen joa.
Jete aime.
Mi gvarha.
Sagapo. Asapa kit.
Aloha, wow, jai, oi.
Ani ohevet ota.
Ik ho van hoi.
Saya sinse padamu.
Time inkrad leat. E elskathe.
Ti amo.
Isti tero.
Sarang heo.
Esteve milo.
Bahibak.
Tave mulio. Saya sinse kamu.
Ana moja papik.
Ja elskat dig.
Boham ciao.
Eu ti amo.
Te ubisk.
Ja tiebja liublu.
Alofa au iu oi.
Volim te.
Ljubim te.
Te quiero.
Mama obata tararai.
Jag älskar dig.
Nina kupanda.
I klipte.
Vaga aili.
Nan unai katali kakaren.
Ua her vaula o.
Senise viorum. Ich liebe dich.
Yetebe kahayu.
Meyer star. What?
Meyer psai peria kartahu.
Jeg kan så godt lide dig.
Anje jom. Jeg kan jævns rigtig godt lide dig.
Ja, ti volim.
So, what were they saying? I love you in 60 languages. And this is a primary message of the book of Acts, actually. And this is actually one of the main reasons, according to the scriptures, the Holy Spirit came on the believers. So that they could do something that would be transformative in a world and a culture around them. The Holy Spirit would come upon them, and we'll read this story soon, for a specific purpose. In Acts 22, later on in the book of Acts, this is two verses that talks about Paul. Paul was trying to speak to a diverse community about God. And in Acts 22, it says this, "Brothers and esteemed fathers," Paul said, "listen to me as I offer a defense. And when they heard him speaking in their own language, the silence was even greater." There's something about hearing your own language which is extremely comforting, isn't it? In all of that 60 languages, and some of you may have known some of the 60 other than English, there's a lot of confusion when people are talking and you have no idea what they're saying. But as soon as that one guy gets up from England and says it in a language that you understand, all of a sudden you have clarity, don't you? Until then, you have no clarity. You have no idea what they're saying. And this is one of the challenges that we have as believers, is often the language we speak is unintelligible to the community around us. The Holy Spirit comes on the believers in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, in chapter 2, and we'll read this, for the direct purpose of bringing clarity to the message that they would bring. That's one of the reasons the Holy Spirit comes on us. As Christians, and particularly as people in the vineyard who sort of tilt towards the charismatic side of Christian expression, for those of you who understand what that word is, sometimes we make it our goal to be mysterious and veiled. But actually, that isn't, I don't think, the intention of God. Somehow we've come to believe that being more mysterious is more spiritual. But I want to challenge that thinking tonight, because actually I think that's not quite the purpose of God. In fact, it never was. According to the New Testament or the book of Psalms, read this: "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or word, their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone out through the earth and their words to all the world." This tells us that God's intention in creation was to create something that would speak in a way that people could understand who God was. So that even without any kind of book, any kind of message, they could look up into the sky, they could see the northern lights, they could see the stars, they could see the galaxies, they could see the cosmos, and they would have a sense of who God was. God's intention from the very beginning was to create something that would create a clarity about who he was, not a veiled mystery. Hebrews 2:1 says this, the writer of the Hebrews says this, "Long ago God spoke in many times in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets." In the Old Testament, God raised up prophets, people who would speak and declare who he was. But it says, "And now in these final days he has spoken to us through his Son." So for the intention of God has always been to speak in a way that humans can actually understand. This is why when he reveals himself in a way that we can understand. So he reveals himself with words that we can talk. He talks about the hand of God. Does God have a hand? Not or not? Well, but he talks in ways that make sense to us. He talks about the hand of God. He talks about the heart of God. He talks about the robes and all of these things. And he may have these or he may not. We have this image of God, you know, with the big beard and the robes. And maybe that's what he looks like, or maybe he doesn't look like that. But he's revealed himself in such a way that we can try to understand that, right? And so in the book of Acts, this is what we see on the day, what we call the day of Pentecost, or the day when the Holy Spirit came on the New Testament believers. This is what it tells us. "On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven, the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames of or tongues of fire," they may not have been, but they looked like, "appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit." And what was the evidence of that? "They began speaking in other languages, as the Holy Spirit gave them their ability." Now, for many of us who've been raised in the tradition of the vineyard and what we've been raised in, we've been raised to believe that this means they began to speak in gibberish. Whatever. But I'd like to challenge that for a second, because something interesting happens as a result of what they did. God gave them a unique ability to speak in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them an ability. Now, the Bible does tell us, the New Testament says, there is the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. It does say that. But what were these tongues is more important. What was this gift about? And at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear what? Their own languages being spoken by the believers. And they were completely amazed. How can this be? What were these languages? They were their languages. They were the people's language. They were not the Spirit's language. They were not unintelligible tongues, actually. They were the people's language. The gift that God poured out on the believers wasn't just the ability to speak some kind of a static language. It was the ability to communicate plainly to the people around them. That's what this says. And this is what the revelation the people had. It goes on to say, look, these people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, all of these places. Look at these places. And what is it they say? And we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. And they stood and were amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. But the others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Well, this is really interesting, because every time I get drunk, I speak German. I speak a language I don't know. Does that make sense to you? I love that part of it. They must be drunk. When's the last time you heard somebody speaking in another language and said, well, I guess they're drunk. They're speaking in another language. It's just, I love the Bible, because that's a pretty funny thing. They must be drunk. And Peter stood up and said, hold on a second, guys. Hey, wait a second. You know, it's actually pretty early. I don't think they're drunk. Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. It's a great answer, eh? No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. They will speak to people about the mysteries of God. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And in those days I will pour out my spirit, even on your servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. They will speak in words and phrases that make sense to the people. In some ways, in Acts 2, this isn't about the gift of tongues. This is about the gift of communication. That's what happened. When the Holy Spirit came on these people, they became more intelligible to the crowds, not less. And this is one of my concerns for me over the last 30 years or so, plus 35 now being a Christian, and being in the circles that I've been in the churches that I've been in. Sometimes we think it's more spiritual to be totally misunderstood. And somehow that's a mark and a hallmark of following God. And I suggest I don't believe that. That somehow we believe the more mysterious we become, the weirder we become, the more spiritual we become, the less the world wants to be with us, therefore somehow that's better. I'm going to suggest I think that's really a crock of hogwash. Or something else, if you want to put it in there. Because it's dangerous, because what it does is it elevates our own experience and says, this experience is for me. Can I suggest something? The book of Acts says this to us. This experience is not for you, it's for others. This experience of the Holy Spirit was not for the believers. It was for those who were hearing the message of the gospel for the first time. And on the back of this, if you read on, Peter gets up and begins to preach this sermon, and over 3,000 people, I believe, hear the message in their language that makes sense to them, and they actually embrace Christ on this day, right? The book of Acts and the coming of the Holy Spirit is all about the mission of God to make his message clear and plain to everyone around us. Now, let me ask you, in a world that primarily speaks English, like our culture right here, what are the different tongues or languages that we might encounter? And we could say in this country, it could be Portuguese if we go down the street here, right? Because it's a Portuguese community. But are there any other kinds of languages other than dialects like Portuguese and German and Spanish? Is there any other kind of language? French, yeah. Polish? Ah, a younger generational language. So there's generational language. Spanish, that's right. So there's different kinds of dialects in the world, but there's also different kind of cultural dialects. Like, I'm 50 now, and recently I realized I don't speak quite like the young people speak anymore. And there's different subcultures. You know, you got your country and western line dancers. That's a whole different culture. You know, you've got your, think about all the different cultures that you can encounter that you could speak into. Think about that for a second. You ever tried to talk to a chartered accountant? This is another language that they talk in. How about a lawyer? Does a lawyer have a certain language? How about a tradesman? How about somebody who graduated with a high school degree and has worked in a factory for the last 40 years? Do they have a cultural language? A lot of those words aren't so clean. They have a cultural language, don't they? And if you're going to encounter somebody, we're going to need to speak in a way that makes sense to them. And maybe that's the gift of the Holy Spirit, so that when you're speaking to somebody who's an elevator technician, like Paul is, maybe somehow God's going to give you a gift to explain something spiritual to him in such a way that makes sense to him based on something that he does for a living in the circuitry that he controls. Do you see what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be a Holy Spirit-enabled gift? If you met somebody like Paul and you didn't all, and you're trying to explain who God was, and all of a sudden came into your mind that God is like a stop controller on a on an elevator. That if your elevator car is going to fall to the ground, there's a clamp on that thing in your life that will clamp on and keep you from hitting the ground. Now, I have no idea what that's called. I call it a doohickey thingy, but it probably has a special name, right, Paul? What's it called? Governor rope. Do you see what I'm saying? Wouldn't that make sense if you're trying to explain something about how God protects and keeps us from falling and our lives breaking apart? If you're speaking to somebody who was an elevator technician and you didn't know it, and the Holy Spirit enabled you to speak to them in such a way that it was crystal clear what you were saying, isn't that the gift of tongues? What do you think? That's, I think, the gift of tongues in the book of Acts. It's the ability to speak plainly about who God is, not to speak with greater mystery and shroud who God is, but to plainly talk about who God is to people. That is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I think that is what God's intention was when he came on this people. The text, I think, actually lends it to it. If you read it, the text actually almost suggests that each person heard the whole crowd speaking their language. So there was this weird noise. You ever heard a crowd and it's like this, just you hear the crowd as a one solid noise? And it was almost like the Germans heard the whole crowd speaking German. And the Spanish heard the whole crowd speaking Spanish. And the Jews heard the whole crowd speaking Jewish. And the Hebrews heard the whole crowd speaking Hebrew. That's almost what the text suggests. That somehow they heard the noise of the crowd all in their own language. And this is what perplexed them. Yes, Paul does talk about the tongues of men and tongues of angels, and he talks about these things, and I get all that, but not in this passage. These are not the tongues of angels. These are not ecstatic speech. This is not tongues as we've traditionally understood it in charismatic circles in the church. These are human languages that the Holy Spirit is enabling people to speak in for the sole purpose of declaring the wonders of God in ways that make sense. And can I suggest something? We need this gift. Because culture is running at a pace that we cannot keep up with. There are words, today I heard on the radio that Webster's Dictionary added another 150 words to the dictionary today. Our culture, our language is progressing so fast And sometimes in the church, as a church, we become so set in our ways and we hold our own culture and subculture so dear that we are going to continue to isolate ourselves and be actually unintelligible to the world. Today, apparently, Webster's Dictionary added bestie to the dictionary. Now, I don't even really know what bestie is. Because I have no... What is bestie? What is a bestie? A best friend. Okay. I have no idea. Well, I'm a guy, and we don't really talk about our feelings like that. Bestie. So today, bestie got added. So if you're talking to somebody, I guess, who's in that group, we could say, God wants to be your bestie.
My BFF.
Your BFF. Do you understand? These are cultural languages, are they not? I have no idea. That just sounds weird to me. It sounds offensive. It sounds not Christian. It's not reverent. But isn't culture advancing? Isn't language advancing? Isn't our ability to communicate diminishing? If we're going to continue, frankly, to read from some antiquated English translation that we hold so dear, and we hold it up as the lever of truth in a culture that is moving away from Elizabethan English, are we not going to find ourselves more and more unintelligible to the culture? The Holy Spirit wants to enable us to communicate in such a way that makes sense. Remember, this is what Paul said. Paul, one of the greatest communicators, one of the greatest orators, really, who penned under the influence of the Holy Spirit, over a third of the New Testament, says that, brothers and esteemed fathers, Paul said, listen to me as I offer my defense. And when they heard him speaking in their own languages, the silence was even greater. And so I'm going to ask God to really help us begin to understand this. I'm going to ask God to fill us with the Holy Spirit for the direct purposes of making us better communicators of who God is to the people around us. In fact, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, he actually addresses this issue. And he said, you know what? I would rather speak. Do you need a Kleenex, honey? I know it was touching. Paul says in Corinthians 14, I would rather speak one word in an intelligible language than 1,000 in a language that no one could understand. That's what he said. Why did he say that? Because Paul understood that he had been rescued and empowered for one reason only, and that was to make plain who God was. And he wasn't going to be able to do that if he wasn't plain and intelligible to the people he was speaking to. He was also enabled by the Spirit to do miraculous signs. So on top of this sheer, amazingly simple communication, the Holy Spirit enabled the believers to do transrational miracles, miracles that transcended the minds of people. It's a both and. But that's God's power. God's power is mysterious. Our communication shouldn't be. So Lord, we just ask that you'd help us to speak plainly, like just be ourselves and speak plainly about who you are and not get caught up in all the weirdness that sometimes we get caught up into. And help us to speak country to the country and Western people. Help us to speak mechanical engineering to the mechanical engineers. Help us to speak about in ways that everyone can understand around us. I pray that the people that we encounter, we'd be able to really sense what it is and how we could communicate to them so that they could hear us. And Lord, help us to communicate to one another as well, as friends and family, as husbands and wives, Lord. Communication is a gift from the Holy Spirit. One of the ways that we communicate to God is through worship, and one of the ways that he communicates to us is through worship as well. And so as we worship tonight, I just ask that you would begin to just really pray that God will give you a gift of the ability to communicate plainly who he is to others. So Holy Spirit, we ask that you'd fill us. Fill us with your power, but also fill us with an ability to speak in ways that communicates powerfully and plainly who you are. As we do each Friday night, if you want to celebrate communion while we worship, please feel free to do so. There is some bread there. There's wine and juice. If you want to break off a piece of the bread and dip it in either and receive that. The communion meal is all about communication as well. It was a way that Jesus communicated to the disciples in a plain way what was going to happen. He took a very common element over a meal. A common cup, a common loaf, something that they understood what it was, and he changed it into something else, that it would communicate something else to them. That's what he did, really. So as you take communion tonight, I'd like you to see it as that. It's God communicating to you in a very simple, plain way what it means to eat this bread and drink this wine, the wine becoming the new covenant that would wash away our sins, the blood of Jesus, and the body of Jesus that would be broken for us. This is a plain and simple emblem. This is a plain and simple cultural touch point for us. And so as you celebrate it, just receive it as God's communication of his love and his sacrifice to you. If you would like to do that, please do that way of worship.